This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Sax Parente. Visit saxparente.com or follow them at Sax Parente on social to see how their patented ultra-low balance point putter builds can help your putter game using physics, not gimmicks.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on social at CanadanGolf. You can also find us at Off Course THP on Twitter, mostly Twitter. My guest today is a man who's been on a couple times before. I thought it'd be a good time to kind of reel it back a little bit. There's all kinds of things we need to talk about that are going on tour, a couple of debates on social that are worth hitting. And I've got a couple other pieces, and I thought who better to bring on than my good buddy, Josh Babbitt from THP. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am doing good. You can find Josh at JB_THP Golf on Twitter. And you should probably also follow at THP Golf on Twitter. Which one do you think you're more infamous for?
I don't do all the tweets from THP Golf. So I would probably say if they're interested in nonsense and food with a rare golf take, my personal one, if they're interested in amazing experiences, contests, and golf stuff, the THP Golf one.
So here's what I do know. You could spend the next 45 minutes turning a golf podcast into a food cast, and we're not doing that today. I have one hidden in the back.
But before you get to that, I have a very important food question for you.
Okay.
I was just in Chicago for the Adele experience we did. And when Chris Koski from Adele got there, we went and grabbed a quick lunch at Portillo's. And Portillo's is famous for a lot of things, but one of them is a chocolate cake shake.
Okay.
Now, they also had on special a strawberry lemon cake shake. If you had to choose between the two, which one are you getting?
Is that a real question?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's chocolate cake shake all day long.
Yeah, normally I go with that, and I would have been wrong in this case because the strawberry lemon cake shake was amazing.
You could have sold me on strawberry cake shake. Throwing that lemon in was it was not something I was anticipating.
Well, think of it like a strawberry milkshake with a piece of lemon yellow cake dropped in and blended. It's downright sinful.
I call that a downgrade.
That's the Canadian in you.
The only thing I know about your trip was that I have a question for you. Since we're already making this food 2 minutes in, you guys ate upside down pizza, I like to call it, Chicago style pie, right before going to Club Champion and doing a bunch of work with them. How many of the guys pursued a nap within the first hour of getting there?
None. We were responsible with our eating.
No, you were not.
No, but I didn't have to swing, and neither did Chris Koski. So our lucky contest winner ate a couple pieces, but he was good to go.
Good for him. Well, I didn't expect to lead with that, but we did. So here we are now. There's something I have to talk to you about. It's pretty much what everyone's discussing right now. A video of Brooks v. Bryson. Let's call this 4.0, I guess, at this point. There's been a number of iterations. What it was a little late coming out for you. I know you're an earlier sleeper than I am. What was your initial reaction when you saw that video?
The initial reaction was, here we go again, followed by Brooks has, there's many things to complain about of different golfers. He's called them out for slow play and things like that. When he started with the metal spike thing, I was, now he's just trying too hard, because where has this comment been about Tiger, who wears metal spikes, or Justin Thomas, or 25 to 30% of the PGA Tour pros that wear them? And he's never said a word, and all of a sudden the sound gets to him where he loses his train of thought. I just think at this point he's trying too hard.
So before, like, as the video gets started, before Bryson's even in the picture or making noise, you can see that Brooks has a look on his face that says, why am I here? It's no longer a major tournament. It's now over. I don't care. Do you think he was already, for lack of a better word, triggered by something else, which sort of expanded on this frustration?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's twofold. First, it appears that most people think Bryson kind of said something, which he may have. I can't make anything out in the
video. It wouldn't be the first time.
No. The second part is he's a competitor who just kind of blew it on the final round of a major. He's never been that warm and cuddly guy that would be gracious in defeat or anything like that. That's just not his style. And he didn't want to be there. And you could tell he didn't want to be there. It was funny, the contrast of that to Phil, who's been second place many times, too many, I guess you could say. In his win, one of the first things he did was talk about Brooks, the competitor, and the player. And I don't think you would have gotten that in reverse. I just don't think that's him. He's a guy, whether it's a shtick or anything else, that it comes off in some ways as a little selfish. But it just reminds me, like, if Rob Gronkowski was a golfer, for football fans out there following, it would be Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. What's a Rob Gronkowski? He's
a future Hall of Fame tight end who played for the Patriots and the Bucks. But he's a frat boy. That's how it comes across. For fans of him, they love that. They love the shtick. They love the whole nine yards. To purists or people who have this passion for the game, I made a comment on social media that he's the new Kalush of golf, which is dating myself going back to a movie from the 80s called Bull Durham, where Kevin Costner says to Tim Robbins, God came down and gave you the gift of a thunderbolt of your arm, like, appreciate it. And I wish that golfers did, like, those that have this insane ability to be amazing and cherish it. Don't pretend it's not that big of a deal and you'd rather be doing something else. And that's my take on it. Now, that's my take. Other people love it. And they, you know, he's a big game guy. He comes out in majors. He plays incredibly well. But this whole, well, I only care what he does on the course thing doesn't hold water. They seem to only say that about Brooks and Tiger, and anybody else who does something off the course, they hate.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I love the Bull Durham reference. It was more appropriate for me than the Gronk.
And I totally butchered it.
I love that. It's fine. It's good. What I find interesting about Brooks is he didn't just start winning and, you know, was comfortable winning his whole career. He had to dig through it. He took an interesting route to get there. And once he was there, it almost seems like it didn't matter. That's where I really struggle. We talk about authenticity all the time. And our exposure to these guys is so limited that we can only either put good faith or just assume the worst, which is kind of what happens for pretty much every guy out there, where Bryson has been basically documented by folks in the industry as the same guy you see on the camera is the same guy you see off the camera. But people are fairly immediate to say it's not authentic. He's trying to build his brand. It's very fake. And then you get a guy like Bryson who, you know, he's even basically suggested in interviews that he likes to poke the bear. He likes to play that role. He has very little emotional connection to the tour experience outside of some tournaments, which typically are the majors. It's very fascinating to me that the two of them are they're put in such different categories by people, and why Bryson of the two usually gets the short end of the stick. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No. Yeah, I do. And it's hard to put into words, as I think, without it sounding like you're a fan of one or the other, they do get covered very differently. One is passion for the game from a historical presence. The other is kind of flippant about the game, which I guess is cool now, you know.
It depends who you talk to.
Right. But, you know, it's a popular take to be anti-establishment for the sake of being anti-establishment, not because the establishment was wrong. he took an interesting path, and it's one that you would think would bring this appreciation for the game and the passion, but you know, it's him. And to be fair, maybe he doesn't have a passion for the game and it's a way he earns his paycheck. And that's fine. As someone going back to the Nuke LaLoosh thing, who does have a passion for it, who would do anything to have that kind of skill set and God-given talent and work ethic to get that God-given talent, even though it may not carry over, I wish it was more about that. I never understand the idea that putting yourself out there to fans is a bad thing. I'll never understand that. I say the same thing about Ricky Fowler, who after every tournament is out there signing autographs for hours on end, who was the first to come out and congratulate Phil when he won, or Bryson doing his videos where he's taking fan questions. He's not just posting a video of himself working out. He's taking questions for hours on end each week, it seems like. I'll never understand the idea to dismiss the fans that make all this possible in any format.
You know, I think it's interesting you pointed out that last part about Bryson doing his workouts on video. I understand that there's a different generation coming up now. I've been involved on Twitch in different ways, and I'm familiar with the access to video games. So Bryson's kind of in that a little bit. And it's great to see that he took where he would normally just play a game like Fortnite and answer questions. Well, now he's showcasing what he's doing off, workouts and things like that. And I've watched a few of them where he basically said, "Don't make fun of me. This is hard." So he's kind of exposing himself in what could be considered a weak point to his fans. And I don't think Brooks would ever do anything like that. I think this sort of vulnerability is great to see. And I just don't understand why that's not perceived as authentic. And don't get me wrong, Bryson's had his moments on the golf course. The ants,
without question.
The cameraman, the putter slam, which I rarely forgive. You know, he's had his moments, and I think every player has their moments out there. But I don't see why that should define the person in total. It should be kind of a complete experience. So I read a comment the other day which kind of surprised me, where Bryson was trying to put on a show by spending the entire afternoon and evening on the range in between rounds of the US Open. And I really struggle with that because you see different players do that. You've got at least a few examples.
Tiger was notorious for it.
Okay. You got at least a few examples where guys would go out there and grind. Spieth more recently. Why is Bryson so different? He's not pursuing that camera. He's there for himself. If you watch his video that was surfaced from the Open Championship a couple of years ago, you remember him losing his mind, basically. And that was kind of a defining moment for me. I thought he was nuts at that point. But what I didn't realize was he's so mentally wrapped up in his golf swing that he needs that for himself to get through it.
I think that you hit the nail on the head without actually saying it. He's different, and different isn't always accepted, despite what everybody wants to say that you need to accept all. He's covered differently by the media. He's treated differently by the fan. I mean, the perfect example was the grinding on the range. People had issue with that. Yet there's literally, you could search on Google, if you go in, type in any player's name on range after round, and they will come up with video or pictures showing them grinding on the range after the round. Yet when Bryson did it, it was somehow inauthentic. That's a mystery to me. Now, I think that there's things, going back to the social media part of it for a second, we've had the conversation before where different players will jump into the mix on a criticism of them. We've seen it with Justin Thomas numerous times. Brooks has done it before. Phil has done it in a joking way where he's just like, "Hey guys, I'm here." Bryson's there talking to his fans. And I always said, if you were a guy like Justin Thomas, instead of worrying about that one criticism that's out there on Instagram or Twitter and trying to correct them, why not go take one of your millions of fans' day and make a comment and say, "Hey, thanks for the support." You will literally change that person's week, month, life, whatever it is. Ricky Fowler's been known to do that. Phil's been known to do that. Bryson does that now. I don't understand why players have to go with the combative nature, but I also am not in their shoes where you're getting messages thousands of times a day. Probably most of them are pretty critical because that's what people do behind a keyboard. When you're looking at the thing as a whole, I mean, we had the cameraman incident, which is the one that sticks to me about protecting the brand. And I did say at the time that I thought they were looking for it at that point. But I mean, you go back, Tiger and cameras is like notorious. You can go through and see how many times Stevie took or broke a camera. There's just a lot of that stuff, and I hate all of it. But being different, I don't hate. And to quote a famous athlete, winning cures all. And if Bryson had 14 majors, he would be lauded.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, you know, for some reason, being different is bad in this case, despite the autographs, despite spending time with the fans, despite hitting it a mile like everybody else. I'd rather have the person who spends the time with the fans and talking to them and answering questions to them and helping them than I would the guy who dismisses the fans 100% of the time.
So there's a little bit of conspiracy theory going on saying that these guys are actually buddies and are laughing at this whole experience via text message to each other. You think there's any possibility that that's true?
Do I think they're buddies? No. Do I think there's a bit of a conspiracy? Not enough to where I'm going to go grab some aluminum foil and make a hat, but I think that PGA Tour system that they put out is a complete travesty, and it brings things like this.
Okay. But I mean, people have always liked that sort of competitive one player versus player mentality, that rivalry that it has existed throughout the years. I mean, Phil had it to an extent with Tiger. You know, there's been no real consistent rivalry over the last, 10 years or so. Maybe they're trying to create something that's not there already.
It's possible. The problem is the depth of field is so deep now, it would be nearly impossible for two players to remain at the top as frequently as we had it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, personality-wise, wouldn't handle that. Like Dustin Johnson in a rivalry would do, hey guys, I'm here. Like it wouldn't do anything for anything. These two guys being so different. Dan's backing away from the microphone laughing right now.
That's the best Dustin Johnson impression I've ever seen you do.
I'm a problem solver. These two guys have the personality to pull off a rivalry, and they're so polarizing different. But no, I don't think they're buddies.
Do you think there's two players out there that could have a better rivalry than these two?
Oh, that's a tough question. No, because these two both show up in the biggest spots. I could see, like, Spieth is a guy who I think moving forward will show up in the big spots, but he doesn't have the personality for this. He wouldn't allow the personality to shine. He actually has the personality for this, but he wouldn't allow
his personality is more sort of internal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, not so much internal, directed at himself, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas could have a great rivalry. They're always there. They're a little too, white bread? I don't know what the right term is for this.
Yeah, they're maintaining their image as best they can, I suppose you could say.
Which is kind of funny.
They're too polished.
Yeah, because if that were to come out, that would be not criticized like it is for another person doing the same.
That's true. I'm
going to go back to the PGA Championship because, you know, we're already going to run long here, I can tell.
Okay.
This is about the Bryson thing, but related to another player. On Saturday's round, a player teed off, apparently cleared the water, even though it's debatable, but his playing partner and Phil said, yeah, it passed over there. Then dropped by a sprinkler so they could get a full club relief. And after the drop ended up in the middle of in the fairway. Okay. Had that been Bryson, the world of golf social media and our forum and community and everything would have lost their damn mind.
Who is the player?
My mind is like shot. It's early in the morning. South African major winner.
What, Louis?
Yeah, thank you. So Louis and Phil both drive back nine on Saturday. They both go in the water. Phil says, Louis, yours passed the water. You passed some land. You get a drop up there. Phil reloads, basically. And then Phil, Louis drops by a sprinkler, then gets a full club length into the fairway.
Yeah, there's only a certain kind of player who gets that pass, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's one that's basically not Bryson.
Yeah, that's fair. Here's the next question I have. Is it worth them at least considering the idea of pairing the two of them at the Ryder Cup together?
It depends. Yeah, their playing styles say you should anyway. But if it's not a shtick and there's legitimate heat, good luck, Steve Stricker. I thought the rivalry throughout the golf thing is cool. When the match was announced yesterday and Brooks sending the little note to Aaron Rodgers, like, good luck or whatever. Sorry about that. Whatever it is. Like, that to me was a little too much. That just came off as childish to me. But I think if you're making plans for the Ryder Cup, yeah, I think their games would go really well together, actually. The only difference is their pace of play. Brooks moves very fast. Bryson moves fast to the ball, but is pretty darn slow around the ball.
So you think alt shot would be pretty funny. Number one, you don't want to put the guy who you don't like in a bad spot. Number two, you don't want the guy you don't like to put you in a bad spot. Can they come around and sort of resolve that for the good of winning the Ryder Cup? And I have a feeling that Bryson is genuinely into the Ryder Cup style. You've seen him in the stands before. You've seen him get involved there. Do you think Brooks really cares about USA pride?
You actually stole my thunder. I was going to ask you that. Would you think Brooks is excited to sign up for the Olympics or win the Ryder Cup? Do you think there's the patriotism there? We know Bryson's made it pretty clear that he's super interested in the Ryder Cup. Do you think it is for Brooks? I honestly don't know.
I don't either. So far as I knew, there's only really four or five tournaments that Brooks even circles on his calendar. So, and he made a point to tell us that. So is this something where country pride or, that sort of don't let the Euros win kind of thing, is that enough to say that this tournament is relevant? That's hard to say, man. I don't know.
I know that there's players who really are passionate about it.
Like who? Like Zach Johnson, Phil. You've got Justin Spieth.
In the past, we had talked about how he was super passionate about it. The Olympics thing was a little weird with the whole Zika virus. Then he came out afterward and said, yeah, it was kind of an excuse. But
yeah,
for the Ryder Cup, Spieth's always been pretty passionate. Ricky Fowler, super passionate about
it. That's true.
Bryson has said he's super passionate about it. But so, I don't. It really comes down to the player who's got that passion for the game's history.
So who's the guy, who's the best player for the U.S. that you would say wouldn't be a good fit for either the Olympics or the Ryder Cup?
The best
current player.
I can make the case Dustin Johnson.
I figured you would, based on the fact that he'd already declined the Olympics, didn't he?
Well, and he's struggled in some of that a lot before. Usually a lot of that stuff comes down to short game, and he's very hot cold. Mm-hmm. And he's struggling currently. I would probably say him. I think the players like the Justin Thomases and Jordan Spieth that are pretty complete do really well. And I honestly don't know how DJ feels about the Ryder Cup either. Hey guys, I'm here. You know, that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. Have you ever read anything or heard anything about a passion for the Ryder Cup? He's played in it.
No. I think what's hard for guys like DJ is there's another level they go to athletically, obviously, to win majors. But I don't think there's, Ian Poulter has always been lauded as the match play guy. And it's like he takes his game to a totally different level when he gets into that condition. And I don't think there's, I don't think guys like Dustin have that style of play. I think their goal is to be as level as possible in the right moment. Whereas guys like Poulter or even Reed is a good example. They love having their back against the wall. It seems like they love the idea of you cannot move forward if you don't win this.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said for certain players, how they like playing against somebody rather than against the field. And Patrick Reed and Poulter is a good one. Patrick Reed is a guy who he just keeps getting more hated by the minute, it seems like. But
Patrick Reed needs a friend. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
He needs a legitimate friend on tour who's not in his bubble.
I would think like he and Brooks would be an unbelievable pairing.
Yeah.
They both love themselves. No, I'm kidding. They tee to green, they're both really good. Brooks is a stronger putter, but Reed's putter can get really hot. And I don't know, those two should be, would be a really good pairing.
Really? Social distancing in play, right?
Probably.
Wow. Yeah, we've spent enough time on Ryder Cup. We still haven't really talked about Phil's celebratory tour on social media, but I do want to kind of circle back and say what a performance he put out there in this PGA Championship. What a story to be told at that age to go out and not just win a major, but basically own a major the whole, most of the way through. That's gotta be one of the most impressive things we've ever seen, isn't it?
It was pretty impressive. The PGA Championship again delivered too. What a fantastic event all week long. Saturday and Sunday were amazing. The conditions were so tough, especially on Sunday. You kept waiting for Phil to kind of fall back and somebody to make a run, and it never really happened. His celebratory tour on social media was downright amazing, though. I mean, even capping it off with the, when the match was announced, him kind of tagging Brooks and say they want the current PGA champion. It was in his lovable, oh golly gee way that was just so good.
Yeah, clearly drinking wine and owning it on his private jet while tweeting was pretty fantastic. Do you think that he's solidified himself as the GLOAT, as they call it, the greatest lefty of all time? Was it already determined?
I think it was already determined, but this certainly, you know, he's one of the greatest golfers of all time. And overshadowed, rightfully so, in some ways, by being there during the Tiger run. What he's done is crazy to think about, especially with the streaky player he is. I mean, think about that. He's got these. He's got a slew of majors. He's got a ton of wins. He's got everything. I wish he found social media earlier than it did, because his stuff is fantastic. But his game in general, from the moment he chipped in, you kind of knew he was going to take it. At least most did. And then all of a sudden, he was on Saturday, he was up by 5 with the back 9 coming. And you blink and he's up by 1 because Phil did Phil. And that goes back to that drop on the water into the fairway kind of thing. But yeah, I think is there another lefty even close?
I think it's not Mike Ware, the closest
Canadian friend.
It's definitely not him, as much as I'd love to say it. I would assume the closest you could go with is probably Bubba, is it not?
But again, it's early. It's not, I'm not based on history, but
it's not competitive.
No, that's not really competitive.
And I love that Bubba came out and basically said the same thing. You're the GLOAT. So it's a cool moniker to have. It's kind of a weird one based on the fact that, you know, GLOAT is not,
Andy's right-handed,
not a good thing. What's that?
Andy's right-handed.
Who is
Phil?
Like when he writes?
Yeah.
You got me all wrapped up here. You got me trapped in a bubble.
He plays golf left-handed.
Okay, that's good enough. But he writes right-handed. So he's kind of like, you know, a little out there. Do you think you'd be a better golfer if you committed left-handed for 10 years?
Yes.
Is this like a better opportunity. But not opportunity. At my age.
Had I done it when I was younger, yes.
Okay. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Here's my question. Did anyone ever see this coming? Because we had Phil winning on the Champions Tour already, sort of anticipating this transition that never really happened. And of course, Phil came out in Phil's sort of way and said, as long as I keep hitting bombs, which is funny, you know, I'm going to do my thing. Did you ever see a major
just last
come
year?
Out?
They were talking about how he was auditioning for the commentary role.
Oh, true. That's right.
And that was pure. Like, I was ready to have one of those things like in cartoons where they grab the guy off the stage, like get rid of Nick Faldo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely the most surprising to everybody except Phil. He always thought he had a chance.
Yeah, true. So what's the more shocking win? Tiger at the Masters in 19 or Phil a week ago?
For fans, probably Tiger. But for those that follow it closely, this Phil win is way more shocking. And at a historical rate, probably a bigger major. Now, Tiger's, because of the injury and stuff like that, the return to golf, most people kind of saw the glimmers of, man, this guy still got it, and he's going to win again. And I wouldn't put it past him still. But over the oldest person to win a major ever, I mean, when Jack did it, it was, oh, my God, the golf world is, this is nuts. This is the greatest thing ever. And Phil is significantly older.
It was at 46 or 47?
46, yeah.
Yeah. And Phil's 51 this year, I think.
He'll be 51 in a few weeks, yeah.
Yeah. The tour make sure you know that.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that because it's not supposed to happen that way.
Yeah. I love it. I love that he's gone about it in his way. He didn't kind of fall off. He's, you know, strength training and caving faces in during tournaments. And it's exciting, man. It's cool to see a guy like Phil put the sunglasses on and say, you know what, I'm going to do it my way and screw anyone who doesn't like it. That's so much fun for me to watch.
I would agree. And I like seeing players do that, which goes back to the thing of Bryson and Brooks and Tiger and other players like that. You know, when players put themselves out there and do it their own way, it's really enjoyable, especially when they put themselves out there.
So I want to move on a little bit, but before I do, I want to talk about the fans, which were obviously significant at the event, including a point where they got a little bit overzealous and sort of stormed the field, if you will. What did you think about that? And what do you think it looks like moving forward?
That was a rough scene, and it should have been prevented. It wasn't, but it should have been. I didn't like Brooks's comments about the fans, and then he quickly backtracked off that and said
saying his knee was getting dinged, and he didn't know if it was intentional. That read very weird to me.
Yeah, and then he backtracked off of that, and listen, he was like three strokes down on the final hole. That wasn't going to change anything, but. Mm-hmm. I understand his for personal security. We've seen crazy things happen in the world of sports, going back to like Monica Seles. I loved the scene of fans at golf events. The NFL got it right with the fake crowd noise and everything. So when you were watching a game, you felt at least like the fans were there. The players playing it didn't.
Yeah.
Brooks made a comment earlier this year that some of the players on the PGA Tour are going to lose a lot more balls with no fans there. And we kind of saw that this weekend where balls were bouncing off fans, including one picture I posted where somebody with a baby stroller with a baby in it, the ball like rolls up on them and they never move the stroller trying to get that award of parent of the year. But I really enjoyed seeing the fans back, and it was a surreal moment watching them rush.
So you like that, but as long as it's contained, it's good to have it back as the perspective.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of fun for a minute to have that sort of serene, no Baba Booey, the guys out there just playing basically mano a mano kind of thing. But I think it definitely adds to that dynamic to get that excitement. There's that sort of electricity you don't normally you don't get without the fans. It'll be fun to see that come back again. I just hope that they do the right things and put the right people in place to make sure what did happen doesn't occur again. Because that's kind of, and the tour came out and said that should have never happened. And
yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, scary is a good word because you just don't know. The guy wrapping his hand around
there are weird people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably true. And it's not too hard to get into those events. But let's talk about something that's been bugging me, Josh. And this is, you've seen my swing. You know that I've got some things going on in there.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's really going with the woe is me right now. With your
No,
with
I'm not looking for that.
Yeah, yeah.
My question to you is, why is it so hard to get over the hump to get lessons? Why do you think people sit on that for so long?
I'm going to blow your mind right now and go all the way back to Bryson.
Oh boy.
Cause change and different is hard. And the thought of change, as human nature, we believe the path of least resistance is the chosen way to go. And the thought of getting lessons and it fixing it with no work is nonsense. So knowing that you have to go get lessons and then work on, so I have to pay somebody to fix something and then I have to do it on my own to work on it to make it work. That sounds horrible. That's why it's hard.
I've been bouncing around in my head because I feel like there's a bit of a limited sort of audience that I can work with here locally that I think there adds value. I'm not at a place where I think it's more of a complex fix than a, or maybe it's not so complex that I'm not trying to rebuild a swing, just tweak it a little bit. I think the hang up for me, as foolish as it is I don't want an hour of a guy telling me what to do and then paying him $100 or whatever the number is. I think it is, as foolish as it sounds, I would love to have someone who just gives me 10 minutes, five times, and I'll pay him $100 for the whole experience. You know what I mean?
I love that you're bartering before you even have the person.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's what happens in my head.
We were in the tech studio and we had country music superstar Colt Ford here, and you took some swings and he immediately noticed what was wrong. And it's a little harder to fix that when you're not outside and, you know, you're in the simulator and trying to fix it on the fly while a camera's running in the whole nine yards. It's not an easy solution, but I'm a big believer in lessons. I'm a big believer in having a second set of eyeballs. And I started something a little while ago of, you know, the complete rebuild. Could it happen? Because the complete rebuild is such a misnomer. It's not somebody coming in and changing everything from the ground up. It's seeing what you're working with and changing it from there. I think that's a good thing. And I think that, take the money out of the equation, somebody has to be willing to work at it. And the flip side of that is, in your scenario, and I'm using you only, that would mean probably more range time than course time. And I don't think that's something you're willing to do.
It's interesting. I mean, the 5-year-old at home and the new puppy are not really all that accommodating to range time, but I will concede that I've done significantly less range time in the last couple of years based on how life has changed for me. But here's another thing that I've been doing, Josh. I've been driving around with my mouse wheel, finding different training aids, you know, those perfect training aid solutions. Do you think there's a really good training aid out?
Oh, yes.
There. That.
Yes.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
Okay. That sort of supersedes maybe not the perfect lesson variant, but is out there to support someone. So you have those, if you remember, you go to a range and you see those big giant PVC circles where people are demonstrating the proper
knockoff
plane
of the explainer.
Yeah. But then there's a couple things I've been watching, like Tour Striker's got a thing right now, the Plane Mate, which there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
When I kind see of, the stuff from Tor Striker, it reminds me of the Tin Cup. We're going another Kevin Costner movie where he comes out and he's got the ball hanging and everything else.
Do you think, how much placebo do you think are in training aids? And do you think there are legitimately training aids out there that people can look to for significant performance benefits? Yes.
I do think there's some really good training aids. I think, and I'm going to say something controversial that I hope will spark some engagement here, but my biggest issue, I have two major issues with most training aids. But first, the explainer thing, the big device that you were referencing, is one of the best training aids I've ever seen, used, or anything else. It works. It works well. And I wish it was priced and sized, but that would be impossible to make it so it could be a consumer device, because it would be really, really good. I want one in the tech studio. Explainer, if you're listening, you know where to find us. My issue with most training aids, and I'm going to use one that's behind me over on the counter there in a box, is most training aids have two major flaws. One, they're made really cheaply, which is a problem already. So when you get it out, you're like, oh, this thing, it stinks. You know, that's the first part. The second part is they're set up to fail immediately to show your flaws. And golfers and people in general don't like to fail repeatedly. And if I use the putt out as an example, that little thing that people putt into and then it rolls back, the success rate, even if you were really good, is so small that it's just failure over and over and over again. And that's really hard to swallow as a golfer. So eventually you just get tired of failing and you just quit. And I think that that's a natural progression for people. Now, couple that with spending $50, $100, $29.95 and six easy payments, whatever it is, of something that's made out of cheap plastic and put together. And, you know, you got to tweak here and there and things like that. Nobody's going to want to do that. But I think inherently, most of them would work if so those other two things weren't an issue.
The putt-out is a really interesting example, and it's one I want to expand on a bit, because that is more or less an accuracy and speed training element. It does absolutely nothing to resolve your putting stroke. No. And I've seen this a lot where people have unique putting strokes, but there's so much going on that they don't understand why they're hot and cold. Having a putt-out is not going to resolve that by any stretch.
No. And we actually spoke about that on the THP forum last year, which is, how do you practice your putting? And most people said, I go to the range and I roll golf balls. Now, when they work on their swing, they'll do 900 different things. But putting, it's always just the same thing over and over again. And that's kind of the definition of insanity. but yeah, I agree. And I think that there are better ways to fix that. And I think Seymour, as a shout out, has a number of really good tools to do so. But in general, I think training aids that are so easy to show failure are really tough to get people to wrap their head around.
So back to the question, if there's a training aid you could recommend out there for anyone, for any part of the game to support them, what would it be?
The explainer putting mat.
Okay.
And reason being is, while it's not a fix, it's a muscle memory thing, and there's so much going on, but more so, one of the issues I was just talking about was quality. And when you see something that is high quality, you want to tell people about it. Most putting mats, and for people who don't know it, you either have to leave them always down if you want them to roll true, or you have to roll them out and let it sit for a while and things like that. With the explainer, you can roll it out and it's immediately flat. And that was something that really blew me away.
The one thing that I really liked about the explainer over anything else was that it wasn't just a mat. You could actually, you talk about muscle memory. This is also supportive of face angle at address. Correct. In both straight line putts and an angled putts. And I think that was my favorite thing about it, was you could line your putter head up properly to the target every time. That was something that I felt would be hugely beneficial to me. Whereas I start a putt, I believe slightly closed. I can't remember.
Based on the the laser video we have, yes, you started out slightly close.
And that'd be an opportunity. But again, it doesn't, it solves one problem. It's a big problem for sure. And you talk about there's distances you can select, get very comfortable at those distances. And it has that those lines that are involved support a lot of the stroke overall, but it doesn't really say, what's your actual stroke like? How much are your wrists into it? How far is your backstroke? How far is your follow through? Those are all things that obviously going to that next level and getting actual lessons would probably solve better.
Or an explainer.
Yeah, true.
You know, if you have the space, that device is the best training aid I've seen for full swing. It works. And it works relatively easily, but it's large.
So what you're saying, Josh, is go get lessons, Dan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I think that's I don't think you necessarily need lessons. I think you're mental, but I think the audience probably knows that by now. So
yeah, over a year being on here, especially when I talk to you, there's definitely some mental play going on.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a couple more things on my list, but we are at the depths of a show. Do you have any questions for me today, buddy?
Yeah. Why aren't you getting lessons? No. I have two questions.
Okay.
First, this show drops tomorrow on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday, I am going to St. Louis, Shaft Up number 2, Belle Reve.
Yeah, I caught that invite. Thanks, man.
Yeah. be less mental or maybe get some lessons and you'll be able to go to this. I am playing in a match with Danny Lee from US Team EMEA as my partner against two forum members. After they get fit, you know, they've won this trip. They get a stroke, a hole. Who do you got?
I mean, every time I get asked this on the forum, I always say go team THP, right?
But they're all THPers.
That is true.
So if you base it on strictly handicap, they're getting way more pops than they're supposed to.
How polite is Danny going to be to you?
I don't know. Probably not very polite.
All right.
I
mean, I'm taking the THPers.
Wow. Then I don't really have any other questions for you.
I want to hear
the audience would like to know if we have any new videos coming with you testing equipment. I did get that question yesterday. I said maybe sometime.
Yeah, we've got some work to do, don't we?
Yeah.
Are you putting me on the spot on my own show?
No, I'm actually reading this question. THP, are you ready? Do you want me to read it for you?
Sure.
Okay. THP, I really enjoyed this video with Tor Edge Irons. Dan, in the video, has a beautiful swing. Apparently, you don't need lessons.
Oh, no.
And I'd like to see what others you have. Any plans to do anything? And he lists a bunch of clubs that he'd like to see reviewed. My response was a nice one that we have tons of videos on there, full staff of guys, and I'd like your feedback on all of them. But JG2651 would like to know.
Yeah, I think we gotta get something set up. There's a lot of great equipment out there, and we've kind of only scratched the surface this year. We definitely need to make something happen. If you're even in town, you're a busy man.
I do have some trips coming up. But, you know, you picked against me, so maybe I don't even have to go to that one.
Yeah. Well, you said a stroke a hole, man. If you said straight up, I probably would have. There's a
you
chance.
Probably, right? You probably? If it's straight up, you probably. Danny's a 1, I believe. I'm at a 7.4. And our defense, two opponents are 14 and 17.
So it's just one round, correct?
One. Well, we're going to play 2 rounds of golf, but 1 round for the competition.
All right. So I would have definitely gone with it on round 2 because based on our track record of playing together, you get through a solid 1 round before things are done.
Yeah. Old age will do that to you. I'm nearing 50 and, you know, I'm not a well-oiled machine like I used to be.
The other thing, and I didn't want to expose you on this, but the last time we played together was the first round you completed in a very long time.
No.
So
first round I've completed with you.
With me in a long time. So yeah. I was thinking, can Danny beat these guys getting one stroke a hole?
Wow. Maybe this, I think this podcast is going to get lost.
Yeah. Strong editing moves.
So, oh, and last thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When this airs, yesterday will be the first THP limited series item.
Yes.
This is a Canadian pick. Now, yeah. Most people are not going to be able to get one.
Okay.
But for those that do, can you explain why you wanted this item as the first item?
Yeah. Can I expose what it is? It'll be already there, right?
When this airs, they'll already be sold out.
So yeah, vacuum sealed cup with THP logo on it. This is, I only drink out of vacuum sealed cups. JB can validate that even when I drive down to headquarters, I bring my own because it's my preference to drink out of them.
Super weird.
No, it's not.
No, meaning that we have them here.
You're a germaphobe. You know it goes.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, I think this is a cool thing because you have this super limited product. I think we only have 25 or 30. I don't know what the number is. Very, very small. There's
25 of these will be sold.
So I think, it was an easy choice for me, being my first selection. There's a couple other things I think would be really cool that are,
you want to drop a teaser? Yeah. You want me to drop a teaser?
Yeah, sure.
For the THP limited series coming up, we've gone and done some pretty amazing collaborations for those.
That's the big part. I love how engaging these companies are. These guys are excited.
I'm going to let you give them one name that we collaborated with.
Geez. I mean, I'm wearing a hat right now. I think it's only fair to talk about that. What do you think?
We did a collaboration. I'm not going to say what the item is with Travis Matthew on one of the limited series items.
And it's awesome. Yeah, absolutely cool.
That'll be a future one. That is going to be a hard ticket.
Oh yeah, for sure. But this is the fun part. Our staff have spent a lot of time talking about what matters to them. When they think about golf products and having the THP limited series logo, what things would they use regularly and appreciate having? I mean, Travis Matthew is a great example. There's a couple of other companies when you guys hear about them that are perfect examples of the things.
And you're going to be like, holy cow, that's cool. Yeah. You know, because that's stuff we've never done before.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of tip of the iceberg stuff would drop tomorrow, or I guess today as you're listening to it.
Yeah. No, it's going to drop yesterday.
What day is it?
Today this is what Thursday.
You have a puppy.
Limited series drops. This will air that's Friday. Right.
Okay. So
it will already be sold out by the time this airs.
Do you think that my first item is going to be kind of an underdog overall, or do you think it's going to be a hot, hot ticket?
I think it's going to be an underdog only because limited series is new. They don't understand the quality that's coming with the different items we've done. Once we start moving forward, people are going to know the quality and things like that. And I know items 2 and 3 are super special. Our moderator, M. Ward, has an item coming up next month, I believe. And then the following month, I think it's Dean's choice. So we have some stuff coming out that I'm just super excited. I'm glad we have a trading thread where people will be able to trade. Because even if you don't love an item, there's going to be something you want and you're going to want trade bait. There's no question about it.
The Shamrock Shake is already limited. I don't know why we involved Wardy in it.
It is limited, but it's not really limited as much as it is dated.
Hey, I have one question to you before we go. How's the THP mascot doing, Arrow? He had some surgery. Is he kicking butt?
Yeah, he's doing okay right now. He had something wrong with his eyeball where it was, I won't get graphic, but he had to have surgery on his eyelid and he didn't do so well for the first few days, but he's doing well now. And he's back to normal of waking us up at 4 a.m. every morning. it's not the most enjoyable thing in the world, but that's his new schedule is I'm going to go to sleep at 8. And I'm going to be up between 3 and 4 and I'm ready to be entertained and fed.
Yeah. Unlike me, when I come into town, you won't see me at 4. That's for sure.
No.
So, hey, thanks for coming on today, buddy. It was a fun chat. We had a lot to get through, and I'm thrilled that.
Remember when I said we should keep these to 30 minutes?
Yeah, I do. That was over a year ago. And yeah. As it continues to grow, I hope we go to 2 hours.
I'm sure everybody can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop a bomb right real fast for those who actually make it this far. Next week's show, one that's better than this one, obviously, we will have a contest.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that. Can I win it?
I don't know what it is yet, but it'll be something cool.
Can I win it?
No.
Okay. Well, in that case, that's the show. Josh, safe travels next week. And for everyone out there who, like he said, has stuck around for the depths of this one. If you are golfing this weekend, like me, I get to play twice. Yes. Play well, have fun, and let me know how you play on social. All right. See you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.